Welcome to our service for the fifth Sunday of Easter. We begin today with a prayer. Eternal God, whose Son Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, grant us to walk in his way, to rejoice in his truth, and to share his risen life, who is alive and reigns now and forever.
Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Grace and peace be with you.
And keep you in the love of Christ. Alleluia.
Lord Jesus, you raised the dead to life in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you bring pardon and peace to the sinner. Christ, have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you give light to those in darkness. Lord, have mercy.
Lord have mercy. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God.
Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have failed to do those things that we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Collect for the fifth Sunday of Easter. Almighty God, who, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, have overcome death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that, as by your grace going before us you put into our mind good desires, so by your continual help we may bring them to good effect, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Darlleniad o Actau'r Apostolion, Philip a'r Einich o Ethiopia. Llefarodd angel yr arglwydd wrth Philip, cod meddai, a chymer daith tua'r de i'r ffordd sy'n mynd i lawr o Jerusalem i Gaza. Ffordd anial yw hon. Cod o ddyntau ag aeth, a dyma ŵr o Ethiop, Einich, swyddog uchel i Candace Brenhines yr Ethiopiaid, ac yn ben ar ei holl drysor hi. Yr oedd hwn wedi dod i Jerusalem i addoli, ac yr oedd yn dychwelyd ac yn eistedd yn ei gerbyd yn darllen y proffwyd Eseia. Dywedodd yr ysbryd wrth Philip, dos a glin wrth y cerbyd yna, a redodd Philip ato a chlywodd ef yn darllen y proffwyd Eseia, ac meddai, a wyt ti'n deall tybed beth yr wyt yn ei ddarllen? A meddai ante, wel sut y gallwn ni heb i rywun fy nghyfarwyddo? Gwahoddodd Philip i ddod i fyny ag eistedd gydag ef, a hon oedd yr adran o'r ysgrythiad oedd yn ei ddarllen. Arweiniwyd ef fel dafad i'r lladdfa, ac fel y bydd oen yn eistedd yn llaw ei gneifiwr, felly nid yw'n agor ei enau. Yn ei ddarostyngiad, gomeddwyd iddo farn, pwy a dreitha ei genhedlaeth, can i sgipur ei fywyd oddi ar y ddear. A meddai'r einich wrth Philip, dywed i mi, am bwy mae'r proffwyd yn dweud hyn? Ai amdano ei hun, ai am rywun arall? Yna agorodd Philip ei enau a chan ddechrau o rhan hon o'r ysgrythir, treithodd y newid da am Iesu iddo. Fel yr oeddent yn mynd rhagddynt ar ei ffordd, deithant at rhyw ddŵr, ac eib yr einich, dyma ddŵr, beth sy'n rhwystro i mi gael fy mydyddio? Ac orchmynodd i'r cerbyd sefyll ac eithant i lawr ill dau i'r dŵr, Philip a'r einich. Ac fe'i bydyddiodd ef, a pan eithant i fyny o'r dŵr, cipiwyd Philip ymaith gan ysbryd yr arglwydd, ac ni wedodd yr einich mohono mwyach. Aeth hwnnw ymlaen ar ei ffordd yn llawen. Cafodd Philip ei hun yn asotus, ac aeth o gwmpas dan gyhoeddi'r newydd da yn yr holl dinasoedd nes iddo ddod i Gesarea. Dyma air yr arglwydd.
Second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, beginning at the first verse. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my
the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We don't really know what it was that so attracted to people in the ancient world to the Jewish faith. Of course, apart from anything else, it was just there. Wherever you went around the Mediterranean in the ancient world, from Europe in the north to the Middle East to North Africa in the south, there were thriving Jewish communities, distinctive in their religion, their customs, and their dress. From their first father Abraham, the Jews had been a nomadic, wandering people, and, driven partly by persecution, partly by aspiration, they had travelled widely and established trading communities everywhere. Jewish community centred on the life of the synagogue locally, but they also had a strong sense of their homeland and a longing for home, and especially for their holy city Jerusalem, with its temple dedicated to the one true God. Rather as Muslims who live in Britain perhaps feel the longing for the Hajj, so the hearts of the Jewish people, wherever they were exiled, sang the songs of Zion and longed for Jerusalem as they worshipped their mysterious God. Some, at least, of the people among whom they lived were fascinated by the Jewish idea of God. The giants of Greek philosophy like Plato had more or less rejected the popular polytheism of the pagan world and argued for the existence of one austere, distant divine being who was the first cause of everything. The Jews, too, of course, insisted on the oneness of God and that he was the creator of everything, but there was nothing austere about their God or their relationship with him. If the God of the Greek philosophers was pure reason, the God of the Jews was passion. The Holy Scriptures, which they held in such high regard, spoke equally of his demanding holiness, his fierce wrath, and his tender, faithful, loving kindness. Their relationship with him was characterized not by distance, but by a kind of family and community intimacy. They were his people, and he was their God. Their relationship with him shaped everything about their lives, from the way they organized their working week to the food they ate and the morality of the way they lived and loved. They were a mysterious, and for some at least, a mysteriously attractive community. In its earliest years, Christianity was able to profit from that attractiveness, because it grew out of Judaism and worshipped the same God. But in addition, it offered a new way of access to the Jewish God to people who had not been born as Jews, so that instead of their being on the outside, seeing him from an unbridgeable distance, they were invited in, into the Holy of Holies, into that living personal relationship with the Lord. One of those people, thematically perhaps the first of them, is at the heart of our story today. There have been Jews in Ethiopia for more than 2,000 years, and one of them, perhaps, is travelling back from Jerusalem. The extent to which he may be called Jewish, we cannot exactly know, and that, in fact, is part of the point of the story. Everything about him speaks wealth and power. He travels not on foot or on a mule, but in a chariot. At home in Ethiopia, or perhaps in what we would now call Sudan, in the ancient kingdom of Kush, he is part of a powerful and wealthy elite, the chancellor, we might say, of the Ethiopian exchequer, responsible to the Kandake, the powerful queen of that country. As you would expect, he is a literate and cultured man. We can't be sure whether he was reading the Jewish scriptures in the original Hebrew or in the increasingly popular Greek translation, but we can be pretty sure that they were not in his own language, and we can be certain that he actually owned the copy of them from which he was reading, which was no small treasure in the ancient world. Whether he was part of a Jewish community in Kush, or whether he had heard of Judaism from some of the travelling traders who made that kingdom so rich, or whether perhaps he was simply a great reader. He has been sufficiently attracted to Judaism to make the arduous and still dangerous journey of more than 1,000 miles to Jerusalem. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and now he is coming home. It was probably supposed to be the trip of a lifetime. It can hardly have taken less than 100 days. He would have read in the scriptures about the holy city and the temple at its heart, how the temple was built by King Solomon, destroyed by the Babylonians, rebuilt by Ezra and Nehemiah, its beautiful ornamentation and its powerful worship. Now, perhaps for the first time, he has seen it, and he is going home. But it is a bittersweet journey, probably. He is a eunuch. Probably that condition was a requirement for even the highest servants who might come into close contact with the queen. At the temple in Jerusalem, there is a court of the eunuchs, so named because a eunuch could go in so far and no further. Eunuchs were excluded from temple worship by the Torah itself in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, not for moral or ethic reasons, but because they were understood to be blemished, excluded by the purity laws in the same way that blemished lambs were not acceptable as sacrifices. A eunuch could not serve as a priest. Indeed, there was some doubt whether he could be admitted to the assembly of God's people at all. In the context of the book of Acts, then, the Ethiopian eunuch has a special place in God's purposes. The temple had 2 outer courts, the court of the eunuchs, and then, a little further away from the shrine, the court of the Gentiles, which was the first courtyard you arrived at on entry. In the next chapter of Acts, chapter 11, Luke shows us the first clearly Gentile Christian, who is also the first European, Cornelius, the Roman centurion. The Ethiopian eunuch is nearer in, perhaps a Jew, perhaps not, but certainly someone whose inclusion in the people of God is uncertain. The implication is obvious. The good news of the gospel is spreading out from the Holy of Holies, where the veil of the temple was torn in two, out into the court of the eunuchs, out into the court of the Gentiles, and out into the whole world. The book of Acts will end, of course, in Rome, the capital of the Gentile world. And so, just at the moment when his pilgrimage should be reaching its most profound experience, the eunuch is turned back with a reminder of his status. All his wealth and power cannot enable him to find acceptance here. We cannot imagine that this was the first time that this intelligent and sensitive man had felt the pain of his condition, but it was surely a moment of particular anguish. The God of Israel had called him from his distant home, the home where he was powerful and respected, and he had travelled 1,000 miles to his dwelling place, the Holy of Holies, only to have the door to the temple closed in his face. And so on his journey home, the scripture he is reading is revealing. He is reading one of those mysterious passages from the book of Isaiah that we call the Servant Songs. We cannot know whether he has just come across it, whether he is looking at it for the first time, or whether it is a passage he has turned over again and again in his mind. For one thing is clear. It is a passage in which he sees a man like himself. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can tell of his descendants? Here is a man who, like the eunuch, has gone under the knife, with no say in the matter himself. A man who has been humiliated, just as he was humiliated in the temple courts. And perhaps most poignantly, a man like him who will have no descendants. The question he asks Philip is one that comes straight from the heart. About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? He has seen himself in the story, and he is desperate to know its meaning and perhaps its ending. Even today, Old Testament scholarship has no answer to the question that the eunuch asks. We simply don't know who Isaiah was writing about. There are indeed some scholars who, like the eunuch, wonder if the prophet is writing about himself. But while some of the servant songs fit that interpretation somewhat, others do not. But of course, just as the eunuch finds himself in the story, so the first Christians found Jesus there, the Messiah, crucified at Passover, the Lamb of God. That, without doubt, is what Philip explained to the eunuch when, beginning from that scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. He explains that the Son of God, the Messiah of Jewish expectation, and therefore, of course, of the eunuch's own expectation, the Messiah has chosen for himself not the trappings of wealth or power, nor the path of safety and security, but vulnerability and pain. There is a Saviour who is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knows what agony and rejection feel like, and he invites the eunuch to put his faith in him. "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" cries the eunuch. It's possible that this question is one which was part of the earliest baptismal liturgies. What is to prevent me being baptized? Or in other words, what is to prevent me being allowed to be part of the people of God? Just a short time earlier, in the court of the eunuchs, all the barriers had been made painfully clear to him. But there is nothing to prevent him now. Now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far away are brought close through the blood of the Lord. For he is our peace. He has made us one and has broken down the walls which divide us. Amen.
Let us confess our faith together.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Time for our prayers. Our intercessions today are led by Anthea. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. En tad, at honoitin an avoid, sancte de denu, de led de nas cunele de wichlis, megis in a nev, vechli ar a thear hevid. De roni heddiw en barabainuddiol, a maddai in ien de ledion, vel a maddau nina in de ledwyr, ac nac arwenni brofedigaeth, Eitha gwared ni rhag drwg. Canu sydd o ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
On this fourth Sunday after Easter, let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, give us wisdom and faith to trust in you. When we cannot see your presence, when the way is full of darkness and doubt, increase our faith and help us to know that you will never leave us or forsake us. For you are ever with us, Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with the Father and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory. Amen. Living God, long ago faithful women proclaimed the good news of Jesus' resurrection, and the world was changed forever. Teach us to keep faith with them, that our witness may be as bold, our love as deep, and our faith as true. Amen. At the end of last week, on World Earth Day, President Biden hosted a Zoom conference of 40 world leaders to discuss plans to achieve the goal of limiting planetary warming to 1.5 degrees centigrade. At this conference, he committed the US to reduce its own emissions by 50% of the 2005 level by 2030. Almighty God, you created the world and gave it into our care, so that in obedience to you, we might serve all people. Inspire us to use the riches of creation with wisdom, and to ensure that their blessings are shared by all, that trusting in your bounty, all people may be empowered to seek freedom from poverty, from famine, and from oppression. Lord, grant us the wisdom to care for the earth. Help us to act now for the good of future generations and all your creatures. Help us to become instruments of a new creation, founded on the covenant of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As cases of COVID-19 continue to fall in the UK, and especially here in Wales, we remember those countries which are experiencing a second or third surge. And in particular, we pray today for our brothers and sisters in India. We pray for your protection. We pray for your provision. We pray for the nations of earth to have compassion. When people are in need, you are our refuge. Compassionate God, draw close to those who seek your refuge today. And we pray for the work of Christian Aid around the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We are all aware that many of our church family have been through difficult times in the past year. through bereavement or sickness. And in a moment of quiet, we bring them to you. And we also remember today those who have been affected by the tragedy which occurred at a Jewish religious festival on Thursday night. Help us to help those who are struggling through this day, neighbour, relative, stranger or friend. When we see a need, rather than walk away, may we stop a while and share a hand, a listening ear, a smile, a prayer, compassion and love, just as you would do. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, in a week when the jury found the officer involved in the killing of George Floyd guilty, we pray for the family of George Floyd and for the families of other victims killed unlawfully. O God, who created all people in your holy image, who loves the stranger, who cares for the downtrodden, walk with those who face discrimination, protect them from harm, help them see Christ in our community. Open our hearts to those who face hatred and injustice because of their race, their background, their ethnicity, that we might help them to be part of our community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and you'll go out with joy. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and you'll go out with joy.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great Shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, and work in you always that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.